5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello. Oh, what a surprise seeing you here. Didn't know. Welcome to the Insomniac Inset. I'm going to tell you, the last two nights, I have, I fell asleep briefly on my couch, okay? At around 9-ish, 10. I should have stayed asleep, but I'm committed. That's what I'm saying to you. Committed. Committed to the three people that will show up. It's okay. It's not about numbers. Today I'm all decked out in my Cebu. I'll explain all that later. My Cebu gear. Good to see you, Chris. Good morning. Good morning to you. It is, it's snowing here. Okay? It's literally snowing outside. It's snowing outside right now. Okay, it's freaking April 16th, and it's snowing. Yeah, does it snow in central New York in April? Yes, it does. Okay, it does. It snows here. It's kind of normal. But at some point, I just feel like, something needs to give a little bit here. Like the weather needs to decide, okay, I guess I'll stop being literally bipolar and allow April to just be April, okay? Now, I have a philosophy. I'm going to share this with you. It's critical that you understand this because it just will make sense. I think it's scientific, but it also could be just me making crap up. So I'm going to get to that in a second too. So I want to share with you, I'm going to drop some heavy information on you tonight, like some mind-blowing knowledge. That's what's going to happen, okay? And then, et cetera. So I guess we can start officially, okay? Because Scott Anthony's here. This is funny that you say that, Scott, because I don't mind, to be honest, I actually prefer snow as a general rule because, well, because I'm fat. So, and this is my philosophy. I think it's scientific. You have to remember, though, I maybe got C's and B's in science, and that's probably because I cheated most of my way through it. So, this obviously is coming from a place of just passion for me and knowledge. Here it is. I think people who live in cold weather live longer than people who live in hot weather. Okay, so here's the thing. I personally like cold weather, but again, it's April 16th and I got a lawn I'd like to start mowing soon. We have vegetables to plant for the zombie apocalypse, okay? So we need to move on from winter so we can prep for the next winter. That's what I'm saying. So it needs to stop snowing so I can go into my neurotic, obsessive, compulsive mode to get ready for whenever the next freaking crazy thing happens. And I know we're not even done with this crazy thing in order to go on to another crazy thing, but I'm simply saying to you is that I can't go on and prepare for the next crazy thing if I'm in the current crazy thing. Do you see what I'm saying? And adding snow to the mix, when technically speaking, we're all emotionally done with snow. But it is true. I do get excited. When I look out the window and I see it's snowing, I do get excited. I'm not going to lie. But here's the truth. This is what I'm going to say to you. This is the knowledge I'm about to drop, and you're welcome. If you want to live longer, you live in a snowy, colder place. And here's why. When you go to the grocery store and you buy, let's say you buy a bunch of meat, okay? Hamburger meat, steak meat, chicken meat, you know what I'm saying. When you buy all that, and let's say you get home and you realize, oh my gosh, I got way too much meat. I can't cook it anymore. There's not enough people to consume the massive amounts of meats that I just purchased. What do you do if you want to preserve and save the meat? What do you do? What do you do? You know what you do. You put it somewhere. And don't say where the sun don't shine. Although the sun doesn't shine there because it's called a freezer. Okay, the sun does not shine there. So you're going to put the meat where the sun don't shine, technically the freezer. Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay. So if you want to preserve the meats, you got to put it in the freezer, right? I mean, it's so scientific and logical. It blows my mind. You're like, Chris, what does this have to do with age and living longer? I'm glad you asked. So here it is. We're like meats. And if you want to live longer, you stay in a colder climate. Why? Because it's going to preserve you, okay? It's going to, longevity, you're going to be kept longer. What happens if you left meats out on a counter during the summer? What would happen to it? It would spoil, okay? And this is why old people are dying all the time in Florida, okay? It's just too hot. You can't be preserved in a place that's just going to let you spoil. These are facts, people. This is a fact. I'm sorry. You can argue if you want, but I wouldn't, because you're dealing with science right now. And you don't want to argue with science. That's what I'm saying to you. Are you listening to me? If you want to stay alive longer, you live in cold weather. You're going to be preserved. There's longevity. Yeah. If you decide, I think I need a little bit of a break, then you go to the South briefly. It's like you're going to thaw the meat, but you don't want to be out too long. Otherwise you spoil. That's the point. And old people in Florida are spoiling like freaking crazy. And at some point it's just no good. Chris, it's hard not to agree with you. Chris did say it's possibly because of Carol Baskin. I have to remember that she's actually a real person. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Like at some point, she's literally become like this proverbial word that it just fits perfectly for anything that's going wrong. No, it's Carol Baskin's fault. But actually, she's like a real person. So I'm going to try to be gentle. But I thought that was funny. Here's the other part of this. They say, and don't ask me to give you specifics on who they is, all right? Because they is somebody, all right? I don't know who it is. But again, you're going to be dealing with science here. So just kind of soak in it tonight. Soak in the knowledge that I'm giving you. This is again, it's just another scientific fact that you burn more calories, okay, if you're in colder weather than you do if you're in warmer weather. Again, this is probably why most people in colder weather are so ruggedly healthy and slender. And you're thinking, Chris, I don't know. Some of those lumberjacks look pretty it. Of course they look big because they're lifting trees all the time and eating pancakes. And, you know, you're just going to bulk up. They're not fat. They're muscular. Okay. But when you go down and you see people on the beach in Florida, you know, with their shirt off, and you're confused at first because you think, oh my gosh, I think Willie has freed himself and now he's beached on the beach. We need to roll him back into the water. That right there, that's what I'm saying to you. Do you see? You're destined to bloat in Florida. I appreciate that, Sarah. Sarah says that she can poke no holes in this theory, and she's a scientist. So I feel like at this point, all of my educators in South Dakota need to just breathe a sigh of relief. Like, there's one that made it. There's one that just got it. I can't wait for spring and summer. I know you're going to say spring's already here. Okay, spring might technically be here, but somebody needs to tell the weather because it's not acting like it outside. And we're about ready to photosynthesize the hell out of something. So we need the sun to show up. Do you see what I'm saying? We need some sun. Some people say that you need a lot of sun because you get depressed if you lack vitamin D. Again, I didn't know this was going to be a science class tonight. I didn't know I was going to do this. It just happens sometimes. Sometimes it just happens that I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to drop the knowledge on my friends tonight. I'm going to drop it like it's hot. but not the kind of hot that'll spoil. Hot as in, oh my gosh, that's like a mind-blowing hot topic. I literally forgot what I was going to say. What was I talking about? Does anybody even know? Who really cares? I think I said something about photosynthesis, and then I complained about the weather, and then I said something about fat, and that in my brain was taking me back to Florida. This is what happens. I woke up. Like, I fell asleep for a few minutes on the couch, and now I'm doomed. Yeah. That's what they always called me. I think that was my CB handle in high school, Scott. Breaker Breaker, science guy. Come back. Stuff like that, you know. I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about tonight. Vitamin D, that is it. Okay, you're on it, Sarah. That was it. Some people say that you need to have vitamin D in your life. The sun, it gives you vitamin D. That's exactly what I was going to talk about. And so you need the sun for vitamin D. But here's the tricky thing. Again, it's all about balance, people. It's all about yin and yang. I don't know who those two people are, but apparently they did really good on a teeter-totter. So here's the thing. You gotta have this vitamin D to help counter any type of whatever, depression, sadness, whatever, okay? And, you know, some people say, well, you have to live somewhere sunny. Sure, maybe. But again, you have to battle this, you know, this whole reality of I'm going to spoil if I'm somewhere sunny. Do you see what I'm saying? So actually, I think what's smarter is you just take the vitamin D vitamin. And then you're good. Yeah. What am I drinking? So, truthfully, Canadia Dry, because Canadia produces some of the most riveting bubble waters ever. Oh, that's good. I'm also drinking purified drinking water. That is pure. And I had like just a little bit left of Pepsi in a 2-liter. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's flat as crap. So I brought my cup with the Pepsi in it. And then I noticed... I had this Johnny Walker right next to my desk, so I thought, I can't help it if that wants to fall into the glass. So I am having a little drink tonight. Here's the reason why, and literally, I mean, majority is Pepsi, and but I woke up, and now I'm doomed. So I figured if I just have a little drink, then maybe I'll fall asleep in the middle of this, whatever this is, which is okay. Okay. You know, we're good. Anyway, back to science. Let's talk about something different. I hate to make this a classroom experience, okay? So I don't want everybody like, oh, I've already been in, I've been online at school all day, so. Anyway. Okay. Last night, I played a little music for you. I don't know if you remember, but I played Humpback Whale. Alexa, play some humpback whale music.
Humpback Whale Sounds by Whale Song on Amazon Music.
I guarantee you, there's nobody doing a live video tonight with humpback whales making noises in the background. You're welcome. Do you see how all this ties together? Like, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about Florida. We're talking about how people get a little bit too fat. They get bloated in Florida. They're getting ready to basically, you know, spoil. They're not going to live as long because it's hot. We've already been through the science. And we talked about people on the beach, bloated, a little bit larger. You're confused. you go and you think, oh my gosh, Willie, Free Willie, he's free. I need to rescue him and roll him back into the water. And now, boom, whale sounds. I don't even know how to describe how perfect so far this live talk is going, but it is just, I'm crushing it. I have so many of these things are called callbacks. You know, bam, there's the whale again. Do you see? That's right. So some of you, if you have your Alexa near you, then she'll, I guess she turns on when I say Alexa to play something. So I'm not talking to you. Gosh,
what do you want me to play?
I want you to stop interrupting me. Freaking government. What if Alexa is just code word for government? Do you know sometimes how if you have a song playing in the background of a video, then you get a note saying, we can't allow your video to play anymore because it's got like copyrighted material. I bet I won't get a single call because of these whales playing. I don't think anybody's gonna stop this video. That whale is being murdered right now. Alexa, stop. What do you, Colleen, it's not a disaster. This is crushing it. Alexa, play Twin Peaks theme song. So I've been talking about
Twin Peaks theme instrumental by Angelo Badalamenti, starting now on Amazon Music.
I've been talking about Twin Peaks for weeks. This is literally the opening song for one of the most bizarre television shows ever. I mean, one guy does the music for the entire show. It's horrible. It drives me crazy. I'm already falling asleep right now. This is the intro, and there's that synth coming in. That's your key to start crying. Alexa, stop. The thing is that the whole show is, and we just watched it, we watched like 2 episodes last night. I don't know what our problem is. We're in the second season. We're trying our best to finish this stupid show because we're committed now. We cannot stop. The whole show is reduced down to slow motion, freaking weird, bizarre dream sequencing, okay? Crying every flipping episode. Yes. Crying every episode, and bizarre synth music that is ridiculous. I've never seen a show so in love with synthesizers in slow motion as Twin Peaks. You're like, Chris, every time I turn on, you're talking about this show. Okay, well, guess what? I'm gonna have to keep talking about the dumb thing until I'm done, and then by the time I'm done, I'll probably be so old I'll have to move to Florida because that's where everybody goes when they're gonna die. Anyway, Adam, it's good to see you here, baby. Augie, Bruce, thanks for tuning in. I'm sorry you had to see this, people. There's a lot going on here for me emotionally. I don't know what's happening right now, but I've been talking about whales, talking about science, talking about meats, talking about Twin Peaks again. It's just what I do. All right, so here's the thing. I actually have a few points that I'm going to make tonight, okay? And it's not going to be telling Alexa to play something, all right? Because Sarah's Alexa keeps going off. And mine's lighting up. She's getting all excited. She's like, finally, are you going to say my name? No, I'm not. Alessa. She didn't even know her name. She doesn't even know her name. She's already lighting up. She's like, I hope you're about to say my name. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Tonight, I wanted to show you a few books that I absolutely love. And I would recommend everybody read them. All right? Is that all right? So we're going to start with books. Then we're going to go to music. And then I got a freaking hilarious picture from my daughter, Ella. that I don't know if it can compare to last night, the one that I read where she asked for a pig. Those of you who were here last night, we looked at this 4-point specific type A personality request from my daughter, Ella. Hi, Mom and Dad. Number one, for the people who didn't hear this. So, Mom, can I have one pig in our house? Because someone to talk to. It's hard to argue with this logic. Number two, I know we can put it where Dad puts all of Dad's books. Or in the shoe area, in the little closet we have. So she's already taking over my office and another area I put books in so she can put her pig that she thinks she's getting. Number three, please, please, I will feed it, please, and wash it. I will feed it carrots and slop. And the fourth, also last one, I will clean the poop with two gloves. Yeah. So yeah, you can guarantee she's going to get a pig. There's no doubt about it. We're probably going to get a couple. And when you have that kind of argument, that logic, there's, how can I say no? Yeah. Let me talk real quick about whales. Because you know why? I've been talking about them all night long. And we're going to do a callback right now. So today, callback, but little comedian thing here. You know, we're having fun tonight. So I'm wearing my Cebu hat and my Cebu shirt. You're like, Chris, what's going on? So Cebu, some of you are thinking immediately of the VeggieTales. Okay, fine. But that's really not where I'm going here. Cebu's in the Philippines. I had the awesome opportunity to go there last, 2 years ago, maybe now. And I was a part of what's called the Kerygma Conference. And it was awesome. So awesome. Brother Bo Sanchez and his team, and what a privilege. But we swam with the whale sharks in Cebu. And my wife and I did. So it was so awesome. So I literally got a chance to swim with whales. And they said that you could get a fine if you reached out and touched the whales. And so because I was in the water, I was really worried that people were going to start trying to touch me. Because when I'm in the water, I kind of look like a whale shark. Just disclosure, just telling you. Anyway, so in a second, I'm going to get to another Ella picture, which should probably haunt you for the rest of the evening. Just, you know. Okay, a couple things. First, Sword of Shannara, Terry Brooks. I remember reading this book when I was finishing up high school down in Bradenton, Florida. Now, I swear, I don't know who introduced me to Terry Brooks, but it blew my mind. I don't know that I had spent a lot of time outside of when I was a kid reading The Hobbit, reading a lot of fantasy, science fiction, and stuff like that. So, and I'm going to guess that maybe my friend Jason introduced me to Terry Brooks, but I'm not 100% sure. But this book was so freaking awesome. And it's the first in a series of books by Terry Brooks. Sword of Shannara, Wish Song of Shannara, Elf Stones of Shannara. Yeah. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings-ish. Now, he got some slack. Maybe I've already talked about this, but he got a little slack because people thought that he was kind of ripping off Tolkien. But I maybe in the beginning, there's some similarities that are really, you know, very close. But he's been writing so long and developing that world for so long, I think he stands in and of himself as a pretty, pretty fantastic writer. So anyway, that's one. So if you like fantasy, Terry Brooks, and that's a great place to start. It still holds good. Linda just read that, I don't know, probably about a few months ago. Here's the other, massively amazing. I just recommended this the other day, Beneath the Scarlet Sky. And it's been hard for me to find this actually in print. It first came out, I almost think it first came out on Kindle. That's where I kept seeing it. And a friend of mine referred this to me, and I thought, all right, I'll give it a go. And it's kind of about the Italian resistance during World War II. It's unbelievable, okay? Beneath the Scarlet Sky. And I'm telling you right now, you know, everybody who reads this book raves about it. In fact, I recommended it, and the person who read it said, thanks so much for recommending it. I can't put it down. And I'm thinking, of course you can. It's that good. It's going to be a weird one. The Bastard. John Jakes. So I have a memory of my mother reading these kind of books when I was a kid living in Valley City. And I don't know what the deal is, but I must have really soaked in a lot when I was a kid there. I have a lot of things I've been sharing about Valley City, but this Kent Family Chronicles is a, it's pretty awesome. And this came out in 1974, so, you know, makes sense that my mother would have probably been reading it around then. I read this book and I was so blown away. It was really one of my first times of being just kind of soaking in historical fiction. And I could read that again. And there's so many new books I want to read that I don't spend a ton of time rereading books to my utter frustration, because I would like to. But all three of these books I would easily read again, just because they're phenomenal. And then I'm going to just recommend a couple more, and then we'll move on to music, okay? Father Elijah, I don't remember if I recommended him yet, but Father Elijah and Plague Journal by Michael O'Brien. These are pretty good books in and of themselves. They're enjoyable. He's a Catholic. He lives in Canada. Plague Journal is kind of almost like a, what would happen if a government had too much control? What could they do? It's a little scary. Father Elijah kind of has this almost like a little apocalyptic flow. They're both really good. And I respect a lot of what he does and writes. He's a very talented artist as well. Painter. And then last but not least is this David Manuel. He has this series of books, the Faith Abbey Mysteries. And there's about four of them. I wish he did more because they're really enjoyable. They're just a straight up good old mystery, but it kind of takes place in this, it's almost like an ecumenical abbey. And this guy is, he ends up getting himself into situations where he's going to solve mysteries. So kind of like Brother Cadfael, if you're familiar with that. Okay. So anyway, let's see. Sarah, last night you had asked, did I write stuff down in, you know, the books I've read? And I had said I use Goodreads now. But before that, I had this book. It's called A Book Lover's Diary, which, first of all, the word diary is enough to make me not want to touch it, because that just reminds me of something a girl had with a lock and it was pink or fluffy or something. But I would write like just all the books that I was reading in here. How many pages it had. I mean, I'm a little obsessive, and there's no doubt about it. Like, when I read it, like, here's a list of some of the Henry Nouwen books I was reading at the time. In 1997. So I came into the church Easter of 1999, and I was plowing through tons of Henry Nouwen books. He just was amazing. And stuff on... yeah, anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I used this book, and the thing I liked about it, too, was it had, like, all these little quotes by authors in it, and it was kind of a cool little book. And then it was around, I don't know, a while ago, but I started noticing that Barnes & Noble had these, like, they were, like, these calendars that looked like an old book, and I always thought that was kind of cool, too. So I had a thing for calendars. I especially like looking at the month at a glance kind of deal. And so the calendars that came out with Barnes & Noble, they had all sorts of literary stuff in it, authors and some of the books and phrases of authors and their love for books. So it just was kind of perfect. I was, you know, majoring in English anyways. My undergrad was in English literature. So, yeah. Anyway, I've been a book nerd forever. Matt Cranley, have I ever read Night by Elie Wiesel? Yes. It's amazing. I've read Dawn and a few others of his. He passed away not too long ago. And I think he pronounced his last name Wiesel or Wiesel. Forgive me. But, yeah. But I love him. I love his stuff. I like anything that is kind of... I mean, I love the World War II time frame anyways, and I especially like historical fiction from around that time. But the thing about his book, Night, Dawn, I think there was one other in that series, but he went through that kind of, you know, that world. So it was pretty amazing. Patty, it's good to see you here. Hope it's good up there in Canada for you guys. Joe, good to see you, my brother. Weissel. Yeah, that's what I thought. The W is a V. So, Wojtyła. So, like, you know. Okay. Last thing in terms of the book stuff. So, the other day I showed you a... there's magazines that highlight books. And just because there's a few of you who I know are book nerds... I showed you the Bookmarks magazine, which is really cool. I have those all over the place. And then the other was this London Book of Reviews, okay, which is a pretty cool periodical that comes out on books. But there's a couple others here. I'm not as big of a fan, but just in terms of like the flow, Book Forum is another kind of magazine about books. And then the New York Review of Books is a cool... It's almost like a kind of a newspaper magazine type thing. I think those are pretty awesome. So at some point, they're probably going to be the very thing that holds up our house when the entire foundation begins to erode. And I'll have plenty of things to read when I can't move anymore. So now here is a book that I want to read. I'm embarrassed that I have not read it. And some of you who have read it are going to probably just go completely crazy because people who have read this book think it's like one of the greatest books that's ever existed in the history of books. And it's called Dune by Frank Herbert. Now, of course, I watched the movie. It was awesome. But, boy, that's a little monster right there. It feels good, though. And I'm about ready. I can't decide if I'm going to do... something like that, or I don't know what I'm gonna do, but if the more I look at it and touch it, the more we're gonna have an encounter. That's what's gonna happen. It sounded crazy awkward. Okay, so we do a little book thing every night. That's fine. We're gonna do a little music thing because, you know, I've already scarred you for life again with the ocean, and then I'll show you a couple pictures, and then I'll wrap it up with a little. Maybe a little Bible verse tonight, which I don't usually do, but I wanted to share something with you. Okay. So, I want to show you something kind of cool. So, when I was a kid, again, my mother was okay with 50s music. She thought that was all right. And when I was a kid, I saw this show called Dead Man's Curve. Does anybody ever remember that show, Dead Man's Curve? And it was about a music group called Jan and Dean. And Jan and Dean... I flippin' loved this duo. Their story was fascinating. Dead Man's Curve was kind of their story, and because of a horrific car accident, their kind of momentum came to a halt to a degree because they couldn't perform publicly anymore. He had such a paralyzing accident, but they had Barbara Ann. That's actually Jenny Lee. So they were really good friends with the Beach Boys, and so sometimes they would kind of cross-pollinate. Anyway, here's another one. This is kind of funny to me. Barbra Streisand. Now, I swear to you, I'm not a Barbra Streisand fan, except, and this is what's so funny, when I was younger, the movie that I remember with Barbra Streisand was Yentl, and there's a song, Papa, Can You Hear Me?, that is like completely, you know, scarred me for life, basically. Good night, Scott. And, yeah, I'm tempted to ask you-know-who to play it, but I don't want to tick off Sarah's... Here's another one, Diana Ross. It's pretty cool. And in light of Diana Ross, which is super fitting, the classic Michael Jackson Thriller. Did you guys see that documentary about Michael Jackson? Freaking creepy. That's all I'm going to say. Completely insane. Last but not least, Olivia Newton-John. Which, she was awesome. Probably remember her from Grease. Xanadu. Anyway, all right. So I'm going to go fast because I'm going to wrap it up in a minute. All right, let's see if I can find. Here's one picture. It's sweet. From Ella. Okay? Here's, I love these kind of pictures. Look at the eyelashes, the three eyelashes. The arms are open for a big hug. So cute. So sweet. Ella. She's such a little doll. So precious. You see those kind of pictures and you think, oh, this kid is growing up great. She's having the time of her life, you know? I'm doing a great job as a parent. Look how happy. Look how happy. And then you get pictures like this. All right, let me just show you this, okay? Just look at these. Look at these pictures. Then I'm going to explain to you what this is. This says at the top, Happy Death Day. And this is the clown from It with the balloon. She saw a commercial when they were doing the new movie, It. And somehow, she was terrified then of clowns. She didn't even see the movie, and she was terrified of clowns. I mean, obviously, it's a terrifying clown. But I think this is the I think this is the clown It with its parents, and they call the birthdays death days. So she obviously, she needs counseling. There's no doubt about it. This kid of mine probably needs to have counseling because that's just plain freaking weird. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Actually, this was a while ago, so she's doing okay. She just, she's moved on from it. But that was a real issue. This was a real problem. We had to battle the clown fear. So, I want to share with you something that's kind of cool, all right? I have a, I'm very thankful. I have a first class relic of a saint. I don't know if you can see it, but it's Saint Polycarp. And Saint Polycarp is one of my all-time favorite saints. And he was a bishop of Smyrna. And St. Polycarp was martyred. He was martyred in the early church. There's some neat stories about him, basically, because he was quite the mover and shaker. It was during a time where the church was persecuted a lot for just living its faith. And there were some pretty heroic figures back then. Saint Ignatius of Antioch, of course, the early apostles that went off and shared and missionized and were martyred eventually. And most of those early church people died. They were martyred, and we remember them today. Well, one of the interesting things about Saint Polycarp is that he lived around 75 to 155 AD. And some people have said that he was, and it's very realistic, that he was personal friends with like John the Apostle. And what's interesting is that the Roman Emperor at that time was asking basically for Christians to recant, you know, their allegiance and faith in Jesus Christ and adhere to the Roman Pontiff as a deity and submit. And so the Roman Emperor had basically said, you need to deny the faith and you need to renounce the heresy, which they were going to say Christianity was the heresy. And so St. Polycarp, during this, you know, kind of for all intents and purposes, trial, basically says, I renounce the heresy. And he says, and the heresy is you, basically. And this is what he said. He goes, for 86 years, I have served Jesus Christ, and he has never abandoned me. How could I curse my blessed King and Savior? I mean, listen to that again. For 86 years, I have served Jesus Christ, and he has never abandoned me. How could I curse my blessed King and Savior? And I just think for me, and maybe for you as an encouragement, just to let you know that there are a lot of people cheering us on right now to live this faith and to live it heroically and to not to give in and to be filled with joy, knowing that not only are we not alone, but we have the chance to leave a legacy. And I just think in some ways it's good to be reminded, you know, the difficulties that we're experiencing, the concerns, the struggles, the fears, that it's kind of normal, but yet we're living this faith, you know, and we're living it in sometimes very difficult times, and it's possible that it could get even more difficult in the times to come. And there are saints who are cheering us on, and when we all pass away and one day have that encounter with eternity, I'm hoping that we'll have that fellowship of all the saints coming to us saying, you know, you did it. For 50 years, you walked with the Lord. For 60 years, for 85 years, you did not give up. And I think that's just where I wanted to leave you tonight, is that, you know, enjoy a good book. Satisfy, you know, that little music itch now and then with something cool that you like to listen to. Tell a story, you know, write a story, write a poem, paint a picture. But when it's all said and done, just realize that you're made for more than just kind of going through the motions. And I have to remember that, because it's just so easy to get trapped and locked into this, I don't know, like it's the same thing every day, every day, every day. But God wants to do something beautiful in our life. And just as I take a lot of joy in my kids and their good days and their bad days, when they're having times of celebration or times of even being afraid, I love being their dad. And I think God loves being our dad. So I know he does. So anyway, be at peace. Have a good night. Try to find some cold weather to preserve. And maybe thank the Lord a little bit tonight as you head off to bed that he's still doing great things, and he's doing great things in you even when you don't feel it. So God bless. I love you all. Those of you who are interested, if you want to support what we're doing with our mission, you can look. There's a little link for Patreon. We have a monthly subscription. It doesn't have to be a lot. It could be $5, could be $20, could be whatever you want, and we would be grateful. So leave any prayer requests that you'd like, and if you'd subscribe and support, that would be a big deal for us. So thank you. Patreon.com/Chris Padgett. Pretty simple. There's some really cool stuff that we've got for you, so don't give up. Talk to you soon. Lord willing, tomorrow.